Hi there, everyone. It's Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom. We're running a little bit late today, but we are here in full force. Just in case you've not listened, Akashic Wisdom is all about the Akashic Records, and you get to call in and ask your questions about your life, your soul's purpose, and typical questions that you would not necessarily ask a psychic, but something that you want to know from a higher place of your knowing, not necessarily about futures or past lives, but about here. Now, it could be a past life, but futures are something that you create. And so we talk about just about anything that you would like to talk about, and the lines are open at 530-413-4511. And there's a whole series of other numbers, but that first one will get you here. And again, my name is Donna Fox, and we've been doing this for about 4 years. And I want to say hello to everybody. We had a wonderful class this past weekend. There was some really, really great gals that were in the Akashic Record Level 1 class here in Cleveland, Ohio. And they brought forth some very deep information. And so that's what we're talking. We're going to talk tonight about. We've got some guests here tonight that may or may not want to be on the air. But again, maybe they just have questions. So if you have questions, you can call them in. Let's see, what are we going to talk about tonight? Tonight, I think we can talk about a lot of different things. I talked about this already, but I'm going to talk again. What? Hold on. No, hold on. I've got Nikki is here, and she's handed me my, you know what? Well, I'll tell you. A while ago, actually earlier in the year, I brought forth a dialogue with the master's teachers and loved ones of the Akashic Records, and it was a dialogue on fear and why, you know, what do I need to know about the fear of moving forward. Now, for those people who tuned in, let's go a little deeper with that. And if you haven't really been a part of Akashic Records information, I'm going to read this dialogue, and you're going to have a bit of a sense about it, and then we're going to kind of discuss it and see how this works for you. So I brought forth, I was having some challenges about moving forward, and we all deal with fear in a different way. And so I asked, so again, the process is I use a sacred prayer that shifts the energy to make the information accessible. It's all conscious. But the prayer that I use is a vibrational key, and it, like I said, shifts the energy to make the information accessible of the Akashic Records. And what else happens is that this particular prayer is sacred in the fact that it's been translated from Mayan to Spanish to English, and it's something that I've learned before, and it's something that I also teach. And because I am a member of Akashic Record Consultants International, this is the prayer we use. Now, oh, hello. There's somebody on the phone. Hello. Hi, caller.
Hi.
Can you speak up, sweetie? I can't hardly hear you.
Oh, okay, can you hear me?
Much better. Who is calling?
Miriam.
Hi, Miriam. Where are you calling from?
Toledo, Ohio.
Oh, Toledo, Ohio. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good. Is this the first time you're listening?
Second time.
Okay, good. Do you have your speakers of your computer on, or did you shut them off?
I just shut it off.
Good for you. Okay. How can we help you tonight?
I was wondering if you could help me figure out career-wise what I'm supposed to be doing.
You want to understand what your right livelihood is, Miriam?
Right.
And what are you doing now?
Right now, I just finished LPN school. And it's completely open.
LPN.
And it was 11 years previous in a factory.
Okay. And so now you want to understand what your... So what do you want to do with this LPN? Why did you get the degree?
It was completely intuitive to go toward nursing. I actually switched to it the night before the classes started.
Uh-huh.
I had several people throughout the week ask me if I was a nurse. So I figured that was the universe telling me that I should probably do it. But now I don't know where to take it, home health, or I've always been interested in holistic type things, but it doesn't seem feasible at the point I'm at now.
What I'm receiving is you're a healer. You know, in other words, like the nursing is nice, but what's really going on is you're a healer.
Oh.
Consider okay. that.
Okay, so more schooling then?
Oh, hold on for a minute. I just put you on speakerphone so people can hear.
Okay.
When you say more, what do you mean more schooling?
Because healing is such an umbrella term. What do you mean by healing?
But when I say that to you, what comes up for you?
Just laying on of hands.
Feeling, and there was like when you the reason these questions are coming to you is not because the master's teachers and loved ones of the Akashic Records don't know, but it's really not their job to take away your power. So what happens here is it's what your impression is. The master's teachers and loved ones in Akashic Records will never tell you what to do, but they'll always give you all the information you need in order to make the appropriate decision. So you chose to be a nurse intuitively. Now you're, well, what do I do with this nursing? And first of all, it's an LPN, so it's not an RN. It's an LPN job. But this, and that's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying is that the LPN and is a great stepping off point for you to do other things and within the healing community. And it really has more to do with what do you feel like when we hear this?
Just working with people and doing like less paperwork type of thing.
Working with people and what did you say?
Not so much paperwork, but actually being like in the front lines with like one-on-one with people.
Right. How do you feel about that?
It's a little scary.
Why?
I feel like I'm going to be responsible for life and death, basically.
Well, that's the whole point, isn't it?
Right.
The piece, though, Miriam, is that you went into nursing to help people heal. You didn't go into nursing to do paperwork, did you?
No, not at all.
Right. So the idea here is that you're taking a responsibility for healing that's not your responsibility. Only God heals. Humans don't heal. God heals. All you can do is facilitate the energy and make it available. And if your client or your patient wants it, then they receive it. Or that's not even the right words. It's not about whether they want it or not. It's whether or not they're open to receiving it based on their soul's contract.
Okay, so. How can I make myself more open to receive, make sure I'm going the right way? Because I've tried to get in touch with my spirit guides different ways. What would be, there's so many different ways to meditate. What do you see being the best for me? Can you see that?
Well, first of all, the recommendation is that you're going to want to focus on your heart.
Okay.
And when you focus on your heart, you want to be able to really look and look at what you're feeling. Every decision you make has an associated feeling with it. And sometimes you feel good about your decision, and sometimes you don't feel good.
Okay.
So what's important here is what part of nursing helps you makes you feel good. I mean, beyond helping people, that's a big umbrella.
Right.
What's come forward, Nikki's here, and she's been on the program many times, and what came forward for her is a suggestion for you is coming forth from hospice. So what part of that is a suggestion? You know, in other words, like, so when somebody asks you, how do you feel?
When someone what?
But when someone asks how.
You kind of breaking up when someone passes away?
No. Yeah, in other words, hospice. In other words, like, hospice nursing is about helping people open their heart when they're about to pass over.
Okay. That actually makes a lot of sense to me. You saying that
makes sense to you. Good.
Yeah.
So that's something that you could look into as a part of a way of fulfilling your contract. If, in fact, it made you feel good, in other words, if there was a part of you that said, yes, I can align with this, it's what helps you feel aligned is what your purpose is.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Uh-huh. And it's really about looking at the different places or types of nursing, again, that not only help you feel aligned, but bring joy to you and something that would make you feel hopeful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that really speaks to me. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And the other thing is that should you decide to get any more schooling as an RN, mm-hmm. you know, you could also consider being a traveling nurse.
Okay.
You know, but you may want to check the laws because what I'm receiving is that LPNs don't necessarily travel with the RPNs because they have to be able to go in the different departments. But check and see what the laws are on that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay? You're welcome,
bye.
Miriam. I hope you listen again.
I will.
And if you'd like to be on my email list, please email me your current legal name and the fact that you would like to be on the email list. I can keep you updated of when I have classes and stuff like that because maybe you'd like to come to, you know, to Cleveland for a class, or maybe I'll be near Toledo.
Okay.
All right. And you can email me at info, I-N-F-O, at AkashicWisdom, just like the show, .com.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay. Well, thank you for calling. All right. We have an email question here. We have an email question from Adele. We've got a question that I know actually is going to be something that other people can identify with. So Adele has emailed me, and again, my name is Donna Fox, D-A-H-N-A, Donna. Anyway, Adele is going through a nasty divorce and a custody battle. And the question is, please give me insight into why I chose to marry the man I did and how to best resolve this current conflict. And also, can you give me any insight into how the situation is impacting my son Tyler and what we both need to learn from this? So Adele, what I would ask you to do is send me another email with your husband's current legal name. I don't want to put it on the air, and I want to know how old Tyler is, although I'm getting an age. I'd rather have you email it to me. And I do have your last name, so I can ask. So, again, ladies and gentlemen, when you're emailing me questions, it's really helpful if you use your current legal name because that's the way we get to the right areas of the record is through your question and your current legal name. Okay, so what's going on? First of all, Adele, well, you have to understand that this is what's coming forth based on before I get your husband's current legal name, but this particular situation has everything to do with you. This is all about your boundaries. It's all about you making choices around what's right for you. What I'm hearing is that this wedding or this marriage, you were pushed into. You guys can feel free to jump in on this anytime you want, but that this was marriage that had you known what you needed to know about this man before, obviously before, you wouldn't have married him. But the other piece is that you came together to have Tyler. Now, here's what's important about this. it's going to be absolutely critical that you, as a woman, come forward and show yourself as a strong woman, but not a vindictive or mean woman. This child can be literally ripped apart if you, as parents, continue to talk about each other in a way that's not supportive. So this particular divorce cannot have anything to do with him and the fact that he, although there may be a custody battle there, it's very important that, and you only can be responsible for you, that you not talk bad about his dad. And it would be so much better if you were to call in, because that would be, it would make it a lot easier, because we would have our, we would be able to talk better. So, again, anyone who wants to call in, the lines are open at 530-413-4511. So let me see if you've emailed me anything, if you're listening. Okay, so does anybody else have anything they want to tell Adele? No. What? And Tyler, so this little guy, by the way, is very, very attuned to you, and he's very, he's actually extremely smart for his age, and he really picks up everything. Now, your husband, what I'm also hearing is that, again, without getting into his stuff, there's a part of this that your husband is feeling. I'm getting the word castrated, so I do not know what's going on with this divorce. They're not showing me, but somehow his manhood is in question here, and he's fighting this, and that's one of the reasons, you know, of what's going on. But if you would be able to call in, to it would make us a lot easier for. Hello, is this Miriam? No, excuse me. Is this Adele?
This is Adele speaking.
Okay, Adele. All right. Now, it breaks up. You got to come over here. Okay. So talk to me about what's really going on here.
About 6 months ago, I told my husband that I wanted to leave him, and
okay.
He instigated court proceedings, claiming that I'm unstable, and he's been trying to keep my son from me for the last 6 months. I see my son all the time, but I'm trying to go through mediation to try and resolve this as quickly as possible without it getting any nastier.
And so the question is why did you want to divorce him?
Because I didn't think it was a healthy marriage for me. He was,
right.
He could be very emotionally abusive.
Right. And what was the information that came forward was that you felt pushed into marrying him. What's that about?
I didn't feel like that resonates that much. I mean, I thought I loved him. You know, I saw that there might be issues, but I didn't think, I thought, you know, everyone has issues.
How long did you know him before you married him?
For 2 years.
How much?
2 years.
2 years? And
yeah,
and
yeah.
How long after you got married did you get pregnant?
A year.
So you already married a year when you got pregnant with Tyler.
Tyler was born 2 years and a month to the day we got married. Sorry,
so
a month shorter than 2 years.
So the question here is that, again, there's something about feeling... it's almost like feeling obligated to marry him. Like you would have felt guilty if you wouldn't have married him.
No, I felt like at the time I did want to marry him.
And then
I really do believe I loved him.
When did it turn bad, though?
Very soon after we got married. I mean, there were questions before we got married. There were questions and some doubts, I guess.
But it was long before you had the baby.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden you found yourself pregnant?
Well, I always wanted a baby, and I always thought we could work at the issues that we had. I tried really hard to work at them.
Yeah. The thing is you working at it and your husband working at it, if you can't change him, you can only change you.
Exactly.
Right. And so, there's no magic pill here, Adele. You're going through this for a reason. And the only, again...
That's what I want to understand.
Why you're going through this?
Yeah.
Well, it's like what was being said earlier, is that you have a boundary issue, and it has to be about you being in your own power. I still want to say that prior to marrying him, there was some issue around you, some issue that you had with him that you felt would be better if you got married. That if you married him, it would make it better.
I don't really know what you're talking about.
Okay, well, if I keep getting it this strongly, you know, that's something that you need to take a look at. And just go back and consider it, yeah. And so the other thing is that what's also coming forth is that when you set up your boundaries, it's also about taking back your power. It's also about establishing your own identity. But there's also a piece here that where this man has felt threatened by you. Before you told him you wanted a divorce, there is something that has triggered him to move into a power struggle with you and wanting you to be under his control because he feels out of control.
Yeah.
You see? And so, say again.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And so, right now, what you have to do is go back in time and figure out what did you do to make him feel, and they're working this using this word castrated again. How did you castrate him? How did you take his power away or attempt to take his power away or make him feel less than? And they're not blaming you. This is not about guilt. This is about awareness.
Oh, I think I must have missed something. Sorry,
say again?
Can you say that again?
No, you're right. So that was, can I say that again?
Yeah, sorry.
I don't know if I can say that again. All right, let's put it in a different way. There was the time when, before you married him, that you were real, it was in your mind you were okay doing it his way, and you felt that if you just did it his way or something, it would work. Somewhere within that first year, you decided you didn't like his way, and there was a power struggle between the two of you, and in that power struggle, you made him feel less than a man. That's the wrong. He's feeling that way now. Yeah, but no, it was before that too. But you understand what's happening here is there was a power struggle because they keep using that word castrated. What did you do to make him feel so less than? Do you remember? Do you remember when this started? What was a significant turning point?
The big thing that was happening was that I was going through experiencing my own having struggles with anxiety and depression. Is that got to do with it?
So you were struggling with your own depression, and what did you say?
And anxiety.
And is that better now?
Yeah.
So when you married him, you were struggling with anxiety and depression. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Sure. So at the time, you were feeling very helpless and weak when you married him. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And then that's exactly what we were just saying. Is that by marrying him, you felt that would be better, and that he would take care of you.
Probably on some kind of level.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, you took your power back, and you got better from the anxiety and depression, and you became someone that he didn't know that he didn't marry.
Not exactly.
Again.
That happened after I left him.
Whatever's happening now, and I'm not going to, in other words, the reality here, Adele, is
yeah.
that he is feeling castrated. He's feeling that you're trying to take his power away, and that's why he's fighting you the way he is. Okay?
Okay. So what can I do?
What can you do to make him feel better? There's nothing.
To help the situation.
You can't help the situation. What's done as far as your husband is concerned. Get rid of that divorce and get it done as soon as possible. But the problem with your child here is that he's feeling like a pawn in this, and he's a baby, and he doesn't understand what's happening.
He's been used as a pawn by my husband.
Say again?
He has been used as a pawn by my husband. That's the part that kills me.
Well, of course, and the idea here is that how often do you see this child?
Now I see him most days except for Sundays.
In other words, like, are you with him? Are you taking care of him? Or do you see him for an hour? What's the deal?
No. I take care of him during the day on Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. And then I see him for a brief period on Mondays and Wednesdays in the afternoon.
All right. So the idea is you're able to be his mother then?
Completely.
All right. And when you're with him, do you talk bad about his dad?
I try not to, no.
It's really going to be important that you're not.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Here's what's coming forth of what you can do. It's almost like you've stirred this hornet's nest based on taking your power back, which is taking your power back is a good thing. What you need, needs to happen now is you need to be able to be very clear about what it is you want, and it sounds like he doesn't want to get divorced. Is that it?
I mean, he said so, but his actions haven't been aligned with that.
What do you really want out of this, Adele?
I just want to be back with my son. I just want to be with my son, and I want to make sure that he's not hurt by all of this.
Too late.
He's being hurt.
He's going to be hurt by it. He is being hurt by it.
So what can I do to minimize that? Or
what you can do to minimize it is to be the most whole human being that you know how. You have to be as mature as possible. And the whole idea is what I'm hearing is you have to do whatever it takes to get this divorce done as quickly as possible to your benefit.
Right.
And so that's what needs to be
done.
But
was this part of Tyler's, sole contract? This was part of the plan?
Yeah, it was part of his contract, it was part of your contract, and it was part of your husband's contract. This is setting up a paradigm for your son that he will have to work through as he gets older. That was the intention, okay? And so there's no room for guilt on this. You have to minimize the damage as much as possible.
Right. You were saying something just before I called in that I didn't hear properly because I was trying to call in about him being wise beyond his years or knowing more
Yeah, Tyler is a very special child.
He is a very special child.
Yeah. And he observes. And everything he observes goes into his subconscious.
Right.
And that's why it's absolutely key that you be as straight as possible with him, as loving as possible, and not put his dad down.
Okay.
But it's also going to be important that you document everything that your husband does that would be inappropriate.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Do you have a good lawyer?
It's been very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. Do you have a good lawyer?
Sorry?
I said, do you have a good lawyer? Yeah.
Yes, I think so. I believe so.
So you have to ask the lawyer that's who you ask. How can you get this done as quickly as possible?
There's a very big meeting happening tomorrow, so hopefully that will go well.
Okay, so we have one more comment for you. The Tyler is going to be witnessing you stepping into your power. And you need to do it in the most loving way possible. And you need to get character references for yourself about your mothering skills.
Okay.
You need to be able to be with people and have people see you being a good mother.
Okay.
Very important to say again.
I've got some of that, but I need more of that, I think.
Yeah, you do. You really do. Okay.
Thank you very much.
There's one more thing and we're done.
When you
communicate with your husband, you need to really remind him what a gift your son is to you and to him. And that you need to treat that gift with love and respect and honor. Whatever's going on between the two of you is going on between the two of you. It's going to be absolutely key that you treat that little boy with as much honor and respect as you can.
Got it.
Okay?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, dear.
It's been very
good
helpful.
Luck to you. Keep
Thank
in touch.
You.
All right, dear. What city are you, where are you from, by the way? What city?
Toronto, Canada.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. Well, blessings to you.
Thank you.
Okay.
You too.
Okay. Thank you
very, very much.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. Okay, so now we also have a question, another email question. We have a question from Brent. And Brent wants to know, what do the records say about the energy that is coming from my hands? Should I be studying some kind of healing art like Reiki or something similar? And so what the master's teachers and loved ones are saying is, what do you want to do? And why are you asking permission? So the idea here is, if in your heart you're feeling this wonderful energy in your hand and you want to know more about it, there's a variety of different ways you can go about looking into it. You can take classes in Reiki. You can read books about energy healing. You could come to an Akashic Record workshop, which would be and this is coming from the master's teachers and loved ones, which would be so helpful because there's so much within the records that could help you not only understand the energy that's in your hands, but your whole life purpose as well as the guidance. Not from a point of telling you what to do, but from the point of offering you information not only about your current business, but about what not your future so much as what the possibilities are for you to move forward. And so what's important to understand when you or anyone, for that matter, uses the word should, it's all about being right rather than being happy. And so what's important here is, what would make you happy? What would fill your heart with joy? And what I'm hearing is part of that has to do with learning more about what that energy is like in your hands, what you can do with it. And so you need to take that to heart and see if that resonates with, like, truth with you. And you can also, you're in States, give a call if you have any additional questions. you're a very powerful man, and you could do lots of wonderful things. But you need to really look at that. Okay? I hope you're listening there, Brent. So, good. Wow, this is great. I'm so glad you guys called in and emailed in. And, you know, these email questions are really important. Again, if you want to email a question to me, you can email at info@akashicwisdom.com. And the next level one Akashic Record workshop is coming up in the San Diego area. Actually, it's going to be in Alpine, California. And it's going to be on October 30th and 31st. But also, for those people in the San Diego area, very exciting workshop. You do not have to know how to work with your own records. But on October 29th, from 2 o'clock to 7 o'clock in the afternoon, so get to take a Friday afternoon off, there's going to be a prosperity clearing intensive from the Akashic Records, brought forward from the Akashic Records, and that's going to be in Encinitas. And if that's something you would like to know more about, you can email me. I'll be glad to email you the schedule of what's happening in San Diego. And then there's going to be on November 1st, there's going to be a prosperity marketing workshop for holistic healers and business owners. And that's going to be, I've got the city on that is, I had that city and I don't, it's going to be at Rachel Paddock's house. So she is a healer extraordinaire. And she is massagemastery.com, and it's going to be at her home. It's in Fletcher Hills. El Cajon is one that is where the other prosperity marketing for a holistic practitioner is going to be, and that is from 1 to 5 on November 1st. So clear your calendars and come see me. I'm also going to be speaking in San Diego on the 26th, the 27th, and 28th. 28th is at the Controversial Bookstore, and the 26th is at a spa, and the 27th is at a private home. And the 29th is going to be at another bookstore. So I want to that's in Carlsbad. So again, please email me at info@akashicwisdom.com, and I will be glad to give you all the information of where I'm going to be. Okay. Back to this. I was talking about my dialogue. But I really want to talk to you a little bit more about the prosperity workshops. Why would you take one? Well, a prosperity workshop, it helps you explore your inner landscape, and it helps you learn how to identify and neutralize any blocks that are affecting your success or prosperity, and again, for the career or business expansion. And what happens is that during the workshop, you are taught how to receive guidance. And again, you do not have to have Akashic Record background on this. You're taught how to receive guidance on how to create your life's prosperity marketing plan. That's for individuals or business owners. And we are going to be guided from the energy of the records. And by the end of this intensive workshop, you'll have a greater knowledge of how to create and attract abundance and continue on your path of prosperity. So what we're going to want to do is also look at belief systems. We're going to be looking at what excuses you use for why you don't have the money or the life that you want. And so it's going to be very important that you consider how prosperity is another part of a pattern that affects your life. Because when you're talking about prosperity or lack, you're talking about lack in all areas of your life. You're talking about lack in an area that it may be from a love point of view. It may be from a career point of view. It may be from a knowledge point of view, and you may be confused about certain things. So it's really going to be important for you to take a look at what your belief systems are, and we can move forward there. Okay? All right. So I'm getting coached over here from my friend Nikki. We've got a level two coming up in Cleveland, Ohio in November, And I may, in fact, do another level one in November. I'm just not sure what day. Oh, yes, I am. I'm doing a level one in November on the 13th and 14th, and I'm also doing a prosperity marketing class on the 6th and 7th. Lots of things happening. Lots of things happening. Level two, I'm sorry. It's the 19th and 20th and 21st of November. So it's a busy November. We've got a lot to be thankful for. November is the month of gratitude, isn't it? It's the time where we move into Thanksgiving here in the States. And we want to be busy and thankful for all of our blessings. In fact, I would recommend that you, every one of us, not only, it's more than just counting our blessings, but it's really about thanking God for all of our wonderful blessings when we go to sleep at night and when we wake up in the morning. It's about really moving into that gratitude that really helps us understand all that we do have that we possibly have taken for granted. And we just don't want to take things for granted anymore. We just want to move into that gratitude. Okay? All right. So the bottom line on this thing that I was talking to you about before, when I was talking to you about excuses and about fear, one of the things that was important is the dialogue that came forward had some significant information in it. And part of the significant information is that when we look at fear, the fear of moving forward or fear of success, we have a lot of excuses about why that's not being created. And what we need to look at is that there are people out there that don't operate in fear. They only operate with a positive aspect. And so what's important here is for you to take a look at what excuses are you using about why your life isn't the way you appear to be. And notice that the people who have no excuses, all right, have no fear. People without fear have no excuses. Because facing your fears means facing the truth of your excuses, really looking at truth from a real perspective. Asking yourself the truth about your truth comes from you, not from outside of you, but from deep inside of you. The process of questioning yourself about your truth comes from within. So you've got to look at what is the truth of your fear that can only be answered by you. What, if you drill it down, what is it? The masters, teachers, and loved ones can lead you to the book of feelings, but only you can open it. And what you have to look at is the fact that your feelings have actually molded and shaped your truth. So that when you discover the relationship between feelings and truth, and vice versa, then you can move into defining your truth, and then you become clear on your feelings, and you become clear on your truth. So one step at a time, you can decide whether it's going to be small or large. The other thing to consider is that some feelings of truth are fact, and some, most, are fantasy. And we make up these fears and these feelings to keep us down, to hide from being who we are, to hide our greatness. We don't need to do that anymore. So I encourage you to look at the question, what excuses are you willing to look at for their truth? And what excuses are you willing to release or neutralize? So we've got open lines. Love to hear from you. So give a call. Make a comment. All right. And you can call in at 530-413-4511 or 530-413-4515 or 530-413-4520. or if you're in the Frisco area and in the 415 area, you can call 415-287-0074. There's a lot of numbers for you, but that's what it is. Okay. Now, all right, so what else are we going to talk about? We need somebody to call in so we can ask a question. Oh, Nikki's got a question. What is that? Oh, so how are this? Oh, her question is, how are the specific individual Akashic records recorded? Well, that's a very interesting question. So what you have to understand is that everything is made up with vibration and frequency. And so everything that is living now or has ever lived has a place in the records because it is caught in the very finite ethers and the etheric body of the planet. And you access those records by actually, like we said, shifting the energy. So that if you can think of, do you ever see one of those puzzles or those desk things that they have, like that looks like nails and you put your hands on it and it makes an imprint? Well, that's pretty much what the records are like. Every thought, word, and deed are registered in the Akashic records because they're registered from a vibrational frequency point of view. And your voice gives off a vibration. And that vibration travels. And it travels and then gets captured, if you will, in the Akashic records and then continues on. It's like the Akashic records is like a filter of all the vibrations and frequencies. And then they move on. So they don't stop at the records. So your intentions, your thoughts, all carry vibrations. So that's what one of the things you want to look at. We have another caller on the line. Hello, caller.
Hi, hello. This is Debbie.
Hi, Debbie. Where are you calling from?
From Washington State.
Washington State, great. How can we help you tonight?
Well, just looking for a relationship, and I keep meeting all these guys, but I don't know if I'm just being too picky. If there's somebody out there that I have a contract to meet up with, you know, that's more appropriate, or if I'm just being delusional or what.
Well, certainly you don't want to settle for anybody who doesn't make you totally happy, right?
True.
Yeah, and you've done a really great job of knowing what you don't want, correct?
Yes.
So do you have a list of what you do want?
Yeah, maybe I should redefine it, though.
Yeah, maybe you should. It needs updating, kiddo. And it needs to be, and what happens here is that, you know, you really need to, what I'm hearing for you is you really need to look at the list and look at what is superficial and what is real.
Uh-huh.
And so the idea here is that, I mean, with any relationship, it takes chemistry. There's no doubt about that. But what you wanted 5 years ago, 2 years ago, even 1 year ago, is different than what you may want now.
Mm-hmm.
In some areas. May I ask how old you are?
43.
Okay, so when you're looking at somebody who's 43 or a little older, you know, their appearance is going to be different than when you were 27.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, of course, you're looking for a 27-year-old guy.
No thanks.
Yeah, right, exactly. And so the idea here is that you need to now begin to look beyond the package and into the core of the human being.
Mm-hmm.
You may not like to hear that, but that's the truth.
No, I'm glad to hear that. That makes sense.
Yeah. The idea here is that there are probably guys out there that in the past you wouldn't have given a tumble to because they didn't, quote-unquote, look the way you want them to look.
Mm-hmm.
Or they didn't drive the kind of car you wanted them to drive. And so what's being said here is that it's time for you to really look at what your priorities are and what's important to you.
Mm-hmm. That's good advice.
Because, yeah, the other piece here is you need to, the other piece that's really going to be important is that there's a pattern being established in the past about what went wrong with the relationships. And it's going to be important for you to take a look at the pattern and really see what part did you have to play in that pattern.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much a, it's not a criticism so much as it is awareness.
Yeah, sure.
So if you were to think about the pattern of relationships in the past, what's the pattern? How do they typically end?
How do they end? Well, I guess the problem with them is that they've been unequal.
Unequal? In what way?
Like finding people that I'm trying to fix or something, you know?
Okay, so here's a newsflash for you. People don't change. What you see is what you get. So if you're walking around a relationship saying, if only he would, he's not going to. Okay.
I like the tough love, Donna. That's cool.
Well, true. It's true. And the thing is if because you have to look at if, in fact, you're start of this relationship and you're saying, if only he would do this and if only if he would do that, you're not being realistic about what you're seeing. At the same time, if you're holding the energy that you want him to change, he understands that he's not good enough for you. You're holding the energy that he's not what he needs to be.
Right.
And when you hold the energy of him not being what you want him to be, you're holding the energy of him being less than.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hold the energy of him being less than he doesn't want to cooperate with you. Because you're making him feel like a little boy.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, so that from this point forward, when you meet someone, you have to treat him as the adult he is.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to look at what your little girl needs that she's not getting. That's why she's acting out.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks.
Does it sound like relationships you've been having lately?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't been having any lately, but I'm just sort of trying to figure it out through interaction.
See, when you meet somebody and you settle, even though you know that they're not really what you want,
mm-hmm.
then you're not doing anybody a favor, much less you or him.
I think it's just sort of giving into fear, you know. You figure, oh, well, I'm getting older. Here's someone who's pretty good. I might as well, you know, settling. You know? It's a fear-based.
Yeah, but pretty good, and it's not about perfect. It's about what are my priorities? You know what? Do you ever go up to eHarmony? What are your must-haves? Okay?
Yeah.
What are your must-haves and can't stands? And everything else in the middle, you have to negotiate.
Right.
Yeah. So it's about regrouping on your list of priorities there.
All right, I'm gonna get busy.
Yeah, get busy. And the other thing is that again, if we were in a consultation one on one, there are some core issues that you're bringing back, or you're holding around relationship beliefs that need to be neutralized. But we're at the end of the program, and so you really need to look at what kind of relationships did you grow up with, and how are you emulating them today?
Mm-hmm.
Because that needs to be neutralized. You understand that?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. Take a look at your patterns, kiddo.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Have you listened before, Debbie?
Oh, this is the first time.
Well, good. So email me your and I will put you on my email list. And I was in Portland in early summer, and I go where I'm invited. So if this is something, you know, I do lectures and workshops and things like that. And are you near the Seattle area?
Yes.
Oh, well, I have friends and relations in, not relationships, family in Seattle. So, I, it's fine to come out. Love to see everybody. So, let me know.
All right.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for listening. And you can email me at info@akashicwisdom.com.
All right. Will do.
All right, kiddo. Take care, and I hope this is helpful.
It is. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, gosh, we are at the end of our show. It is now, actually, we went a little over, but we started a little bit late, so we gave you some extra. And I look forward to talking with you next week. And next week we may, in fact, have Rayon on, because I'm going to be out there in California. So maybe we'll have Rayon come on for a little bit of the show and talk about what we're doing and where we're going to be, and maybe she'll have Puda come on. So for people who don't know what I'm talking about, tune in next week, and you'll meet Rayon and Puda. Okay, so I want to thank you all for listening. I want to thank my friends Nikki and Mariah for hanging out and passing me notes like in high school, back and forth. And so I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. And with that, we close the records of the Akashic Wisdom Internet Radio Show by saying amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed. If you'll all join me in saying amen. Have a miracle-filled week, ladies and gentlemen. And be kind to yourself. And one of the things that I say in my voicemail is, tell the people you love them, including yourself. I love you all. Have a great one. Bye-bye.